Hey, New Life Church, so glad to see you joining in this weekend. I hope everybody had a wonderful Christmas weekend, and maybe you're listening to this right now and you are still maybe on the way to go visit family, and I hope for all of our families here that you have been enjoying your Christmas this year. This has been a year worth celebrating something, and it's worth celebrating Christmas, celebrating Jesus this weekend, and so from wherever you are, maybe you're at home, maybe you are away for Christmas, just want to welcome you here today. And for the next 2 weeks, we're going to do a little mini-series, that is entitled Trouble and Triumph. This year has brought, for many, trouble. Yet, to some, there has also been levels of triumph. And I think that most people this past year can relate to experiencing really a level of both trouble and triumph. I mean, 2020 has been a year to remember, hasn't it? It's certainly had its ups and downs. And when you have a year like that, it makes for quite the emotional roller coaster, the ups and downs of trouble and triumph. Yet through the twists and turns of trouble and triumph, how do we remain stable, right? How do we remain constant and not lose it? And having been thrown around and put upside down, tossed aside on this roller coaster year, how can one not get ill, not get offended, not find themselves in trouble? Or on the contrary, how does one not become so arrogant or prideful in triumph? And so first, I want to just tell you about a little boy. Once there was a little boy. He has a bit of a rags to riches type story. He was the younger of his brothers and his family, and which means he also got treated a lot like being that of the younger brother, which means he wasn't always included. Often he was given things that the older brothers maybe thought themselves too good for, and so he was often left alone, seen as incapable of doing the things that his older brothers could do. And this youngest often would be left out. This youngest brother was often left to be alone. But it was during this boy's time alone, he wasn't really alone. This is because in his loneliness, he cultivated a deep and rich relationship with God. And with no audience, no one around, no one to applaud him, no one to tell him, good job, wow, you're gifted, none of that. With no audience and no one around, this boy would play his guitar. And he got quite good. He would play his guitar and he would write songs. He would write songs to the Lord. And so he became a really incredible, gifted worship leader, songwriter of songs and lyrics that the church has sung for many, many years. Many of them that you would even be familiar with. These were really humble beginnings for the success and achievement that this young man would certainly achieve, and for the greatness that he would eventually become. He would end up accomplishing incredible, incredible feats that not even his brothers or his father would achieve. And for years, he was looked down upon as one that could not handle the great things his brothers could accomplish. But one day, the things that he would do would far surpass those that used to look down on him. And of course, when you become successful at something, you get noticed by others. And they now invite you into their circles. And so this young boy eventually became noticed for his bravery, for his gifts, his talents, and would begin to get invited into circles. And no longer would he be alone, but now he would have an audience. And so, as it is, when you become good at something, even very powerful people can begin to invite you in. And this is what happened to this little boy, this young man. Very powerful people began to invite him into their circles. And sometimes when successful people, when powerful people notice your success, they bring you closer because they believe that you have something great to offer. But sometimes powerful people bring you in closer when they see your success because your success intimidates them. And so you know what they say, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. But either way, the boy was no longer alone or without an audience. All eyes actually were on him. And so it began for him a life that would be filled of trouble and a life filled with triumph. So how would this young man keep his purity of heart towards God? Remember, songwriter, worshiper. Even when nobody's looking, cultivating that relationship with the Lord. How would he keep his heart pure towards God? How would he do it in the face of trouble? How would he do it in the face of triumph? We actually have a great record of this young man's life and the events of his life. And we actually even have record of the very things he was thinking. And we also have a record of the lyrics of the songs that he would write to God. Songs that he would write expressing his deepest emotions during times of trouble and during times of triumph. Of course, I'm speaking of King David, whose many life events are recorded throughout the Bible. And many of his personal thoughts and lyrics of song are recorded in the book of Psalm. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a look into David's troubles and then look at his response to trouble when he writes his lyrics that are recorded in the book of Psalm. And then next week, we will look at David's triumph and how David responds in song. His lyrics are also recorded in the book of Psalm as well. So we can look in the book of 2 Samuel and see an account where in Psalm, the same account, and read David's response. And I think that when we do so, we can glean some things and learn from David's responses. And so today, we are going to talk about when you are in trouble. When you're in trouble. You see, David is king. Where we're going to pick up in 2 Samuel, David is king, but trouble is brewing. Trouble is brewing because that somebody in David's kingdom is conspiring against him. Oh, yes, a little bit of drama going on in the kingdom of Israel. They're conspiring against David in order to take the kingdom away from him and then establish themselves as king. Ho ho. This person has been plotting his steps to take down King David. He believes, this young man believes that he would be a better king than David. He thinks that he's got better vision than King David. He thinks he's got better ideas than King David. He thinks he will be more successful than King David. So he begins to share his visions. He begins to share his ideas in order to illustrate his greatness to other people in the kingdom. He begins to even sit himself by the gate where people every day would pass by, and they would pass by this gate on their way to take their grievances to King David. And he would intercept them on their way to King David and say, tell me your grievance. And then he would empathize with them and share with them his vision and his ideas. And he would say, oh, but can you imagine if I were set up as a judge and if I were somebody in authority, can you imagine? And by doing so, he is undermining the authority of the king. And he begins to develop a following. And eventually, this would-be king would develop quite the following. And for David, trouble was on the horizon. The trouble David would face was much more than just somebody undercutting his authority, his honor, in the throne. It was much more than that. Because certainly to overthrow the position of the king would mean that David would have to lose his life. So his life is on the line with this person conspiring against him. But that's not even the real trouble. The real trouble is in the pain that David had to face, knowing that the young man that was conspiring against him to take his throne and to take his life was a young man named Absalom. Who is this young man named Absalom? None other than King David's own son. Can you imagine the betrayal, the pain that David would face, and troubles brewing in his kingdom, troubles brewing for his leadership, and it's all due to that of someone that is very dear to him, his own son. So we pick up on this story in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 12, and it says, and so the conspiracy gained strength, and Absalom's following kept on increasing. So the numbers of people come that are for Absalom are now against King David, and it's increasing. And a messenger came and told David, the hearts of the people of Israel are with Absalom. And then David said to all of his officials who were with him in Jerusalem, he said, come, we have to leave. We must flee, or none of us will escape from Absalom. We must leave immediately, or he will move quickly to overtake us and bring ruin on us and put the city to sword. You know, many people face pain and betrayal, trouble of this sort. Being betrayed, hurt, you experience the loss of friendships. Maybe this year there's been loss of a job, a loss of income, a loss in a relationship, or maybe you've even lost a loved one and they've passed on from this life. Maybe you find yourself in trouble at the hand of somebody that you trust or you trusted. How do you respond to such trouble, such hurt, such pain? You know what David does? David does what he always did. David does what he did before anybody was watching him. David does what he did when he had no audience, yet was alone. David grabs his instrument, and he sang. And he wrote lyrics to the Lord as a cry for help. He sang. Even when he fled for his own life, even when fleeing from his own son, he sang. And in his cry to God, I think that there are some important things that we can learn about responding to trouble. And it's so neat to see that we can read the account of what David was going through, of what was happening to him, but then we can turn to the book of Psalm and read David's own expression of what he personally was going through. And so this song, David's thoughts, are recorded in Psalm chapter 3. And we're going to take a look at it now. In Psalm chapter 3, David, out of this sorrowful trouble is rising, he's fleeing for his life, he grabs his instrument, he writes the lyrics, and what comes out of his mouth is, "Lord, how many are my foes?" In other words, how many enemies I have. Many people in the kingdom were coming, rising against him and being for Absalom. He says, "How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him." And I think people can really relate to David's song, David's lyrics. Many people can relate to the trouble he's facing, maybe because you have faced a lot of great hurt or you have faced trouble in this past year. I think it's first important to note that when David did face great trouble, the first place he turned to was Lord. He first turned to God. His words were not that of to complain or he turned to God in prayer and in song. In this year, we just had maybe a lot of trouble for those. Just trouble culturally. We've seen people that have had trouble financially. We've seen trouble socially. We've seen racial trouble. We've seen injustice. We've seen political trouble. We have seen health troubles. How many foes there have been. And so the psalmist, King David, he continues. Yes, many are his enemies, but then listen to what he says, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me." Many are my foes, many are my enemies. Many, many troubles we have faced this year. People have faced many, many troubles. But the song doesn't stop there. The lyrics continue, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me." So here's what I'll tell you. In trouble, God is your shelter. God is our shelter. When you turn to God in times of trouble, he is a shelter. He is a shield around you. I remember when I was younger, I grew up in Ohio, and we lived in kind of a flat part of Ohio. Indiana, you can relate to this kind of flat type of terrain. I know, Indiana, it's flatter than anything else I've seen, right? But I lived in a kind of a flatter area of Ohio, and we were prone to having tornadoes from time to time. And I lived a bit out in the country. We had a little bit of land, and for whatever reason, my parents put a basketball goal in the very, very, very back of our lot. So thanks, Mom and Dad, for doing that. It was a long walk just to shoot hoops. But one day, my brother and I, we were out shooting hoops on this basketball goal in the back part of our property, and a storm came up. And this is the type of storm that just came on quick. Clouds were dark, and then it began to hail. And here we are, we're in the very back of our lot, and my brother and I, we just take off running in the midst of this hailstorm, and you know where we run to? We run for the house. We run for shelter. We take refuge in a shelter that can protect us from the hailstorm. So let me ask you this, coming up on the end of 2020, if you are in trouble, here's a word of advice that we get from the life of David. Run to God. Run to God in time of trouble because God is our shelter. And you know what a good shelter does? Good shelter always protects. Good shelter provides protection. Protection from the hailstorm. Protection from whatever is getting thrown your way. And for David, who's fleeing for his life from his own son, he says, "But God, you're my shelter." In other words, "But God, it doesn't matter what's getting thrown my way, you'll protect me. You will protect me." So in trouble, God is our shelter. And good shelter always provides protection. Don't start next year without God as your shelter, without God as your protection. David needed it. And David's, even in the times of trouble, recognized God as his shelter. So David continues this lyric in Psalm chapter 3, and he says, "But you, Lord, you're a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain." So not only is God our shelter in times of trouble, but God is our supporter. God is your greatest supporter in times of trouble. Sometimes when you're in trouble, you just need someone. You just need someone to restore your glory, to restore your honor, someone to give you help, somebody to lift your head. And if your head is hanging low because this past year has beat you down and given you trouble, then in trouble, God is our supporter. He is the lifter of our head. He is the one that can give you hope. He can restore your honor. He's the one who gives you great help. Because here's what I know, when God is our support, is that good support always leads to encouragement. This is the lifting, this is the, hey, get your chin up. Get your chin up. And this is God. He's speaking words of encouragement and support over you. So even David, though run for his life, he finds shelter in God, but then he finds encouragement in him as well. In other words, you haven't failed. Heads up, David. You've not failed this yet. Heads up, David. You have done what is right. Lift up your chin, son. I still believe in you. 2020 has been a hard year, but you're still a good parent. You're a good teacher. You're a good husband. You've been a good child. Lift up your head. Even in the midst of trouble, God is our supporter. God brings encouragement. Wherever you are, maybe put it in the chat right now. Say, amen, I receive that. God is my encourager. He is the lifter of our head. God brings great, great encouragement. So God is our shelter. God is our supporter. And the psalmist continues to write the lyrics in Psalm chapter 3, verse 5. He says, "I lay down and sleep." I don't know about you, but when I'm in trouble, I can't sleep. I can't sleep. I stir in my bed, my mind going crazy, my mind thinking on things. He says, no. The psalmist says, "I lay down and sleep, and I wake again because the Lord sustains me." He says, "I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side." You give me one good enemy, I'll be up all night, right? He's saying, I've got tens of thousands assail me. But look, he's getting a good night's sleep. He's getting a good night's sleep. So in trouble, God is our shelter. God is our supporter. But look at this. God is even our security. God is our security. He doesn't fear. Even though tens of thousands assail him, he's not afraid. Why? Because in trouble, he's run to God. God's his shelter. God's his supporter. And God's his security. You know, a house will provide protection from storms. And it does. A house will protect you from a hailstorm, protect you from inclement weather. A house protects, but it's the lock on the door that makes it secure. A house may protect, a structure may protect, but it's the lock on the door that makes it secure. Secure from those who mean harm, secure from those that want to steal. So have you ever done this? Have you ever gone to bed at night and you've asked yourself, "Did I lock the front door?" What do? Do you just lay there and hope? No. I can't sleep unless I get up, go and check to see that I locked the door. So, and once you know that the house is secure, what can you do? You can finally rest. You can finally sleep. Because here's the thing, good security creates peace. Good security creates peace. And so Jenny and I, every night we have a routine before we go to bed. Every night she checks on the kids, and every night I check every exterior door, and I make sure the bolt is locked, and I set the security system for the house. And when we do that, and the house is secure, we have great peace, and we can rest. And even in the face of trouble, David says, "Oh, I sleep. I sleep well because the Lord sustains me. I don't fear even though people attack me, because God, He is the best security you can have in times of trouble. And good security, even in trouble, gives you great peace. This illustrates what it is to run to God in trouble. He's our protector. He's our encourager. He's our security. And the lyrics continue in Psalm chapter 3. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. For the Lord comes, from the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. And he continues, I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. So if you're in trouble, I want you to read this. Read it again. Say it again. I call out loud to the Lord. He answers me. God wants you to call out to him in trouble. God has a listening ear for people that call out to him in trouble, and he wants to respond. I want to give you two key takeaways from this today. First is, don't face trouble alone. Don't face trouble alone. And you don't have to, because if you ask for help, God will take action. He wants you to cry out for him, because God wants to be your shelter. He wants to be your greatest supporter, and he wants to be your security so you can have peace. Come on, let me pray for you today as we finish up this year and look forward to another year. God, I pray for those that are watching today. God, I pray that you fill them with peace. God, I pray for those that find themselves in trouble, that they cry out to you, they turn to you. God, may you be their shelter. May you be their supporter. And God, may you make them secure in you and bring them hope and peace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. If you're a regular New Lifer and you'd like to continue your worship through giving, there are three different ways you can give. You can give on our website, newlifeforkokomo.org. You can mail your giving to the church. The address is 1803 East Vail Avenue, Kokomo, Indiana, 46901. Or you can text New Life for Kokomo to the number 77977. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.